is the future of wrestling. You can call this the New World Order of Wrestling, brother.
You guys talk about being students of the game.
Yes.
I am the game, JR.
Yes.
There is nobody that eats, sleeps, or breathes this business more than me.
Once again, I did it all by my sweet little self. I knew it. I'm a winner.
And that's the butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
The Stone Cold said so.
You do not throw rocks at a man who's got a machine gun.
You are now listening to The Gerwick Report with Steve Gerwick and Frank D.
It is April the 8th. 2015. I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net. That's G-E-R-W-E-C-K.net. Your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news. And this is the Gerwick Report podcast, the GRP. And today your source for some great and interesting wrestling perspectives and topics that we're going to discuss and a lot of things to talk about since our last podcast. And we're going to do that here in just 1 second. But quickly, let's say what's up to my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, Steve, how's it going, my man? How was your weekend? Bigusso, kudo grande.
Well, my weekend was filled with little wrestling on a weekend following the WrestleMania weekend. And I guess by default, I actually ended up renewing my WWE Network subscription. So I am actually going to be on for April. And I guess I just saw a tweet the other day or a text that if you're not a subscriber, that you can get the WWE Network for free for the month of April. Of course, they waited until they did the very exciting John Cena Y2J podcast. But I guess by default, I'm on, so I guess I'm anxiously awaiting Extreme Rules.
You know, it's funny, man. I actually have the network right now. And you know, the crap part about the entire deal is that I got my network the day of Mania, and then they announced that the whole month of April is free. That sucks. But, hey, it's under $10, right? What am I going to do?
$9.99.
Right, $9.99. Just under $10, Steve.
You know, and while we're talking about the network here up front, I did watch the Randy Savage DVD that was on there, and after watching that, DDP should have done the introduction for the Macho Man Randy Savage, and it was pretty apparent to me, and I know that there was some time after they did the DVD and that they could have amended fences after that, but I definitely got the impression watching that DVD, Frank, that Randy Savage did not like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, you know what? DDP, for people out there who have not seen Randy, the Macho Man, the Randy Savage story, I would suggest either picking it up or watching it on the WWE Network. But DDP actually tells a story on there of, you know, with Macho Man Randy Savage backstage at him and Savage's first match, which was Spring Stampede 97. Arn Anderson comes into the locker room and basically asks, you know, what are they going to do tonight? And Savage says, I think I'm going to take the diamond cutter tonight. And that was a big deal, Steve. It was a huge deal for DDP's career. For Savage in the first match to take the diamond cutter and get the 1-2-3 for Diamond Dallas Page, put him over. And DDP said on the WCW Nitro Volume 2 that Macho Man, you know, he actually called Savage on the phone and left a voicemail and just thanked him for everything. And Macho Man, you know, DDP said he didn't hear anything from Savage for like 2 weeks. And then Macho Man, one day at TV, I think it was might have been a Thunder taping, said he asked his father, Angelo Poffo, had anybody ever done that for you? Where they called up and thanked you for everything you'd done for him? And his dad said no. So Savage really took that to heart. So DDP would have been a cool guy to do it. But obviously, Steve, they're going to go with Hogan because, you know, who has the most history with Mach?
It's all entertainment. You said at the end of the day, the Hall of Fame is entertainment.
Hall of Fame is sports entertainment. And at the Hall of Fame, Steve, as we're going to get to in a little while here, you don't say certain words on the WWE's TV.
Well, they're not going to tell me what to say. If I want to say wrestling or I want to say strap, I'm going to say it here on the podcast. The podcast that tells it like it is. But, yeah, we're going to get into Hall of Fame because we did the last episode of our podcast. We got a lot into the Hall of Fame. I played a lot of the clips. But since we did that podcast, there was a lot of the aftermath, I guess, days after the Hall of Fame ceremony and WrestleMania. We got some fallout of WrestleMania to talk about as well. But, you know, Frank, the other day, I got some information about what's going on with TNA. Of course, TNA, you dubbed the Dead Brand, and more, they're starting to look like the Dead Brand. We know that they've lost a lot of audience with the move from Spike TV to Destination America. And now, maybe as a result of that, I've learned that many of the wrestlers under contract to the company, many of these wrestlers and women and production people are not being paid in full right now. In fact, many of the talent under contract to TNA are 45 to 60 days behind in pay. And what happens is they will call the office, and the office will say the check's in the mail, or the check will be in the mail. And, of course, the checks are not arriving. Of course, their bills for their mortgages are arriving, and their bills for their car insurance and their car payments show up on time. But oddly enough, their TNA paychecks are not arriving on time. And I was told from a pretty good source that there's a lot of frustration currently with a lot of the wrestlers under contract to the company. And the next set of tapings is May 8th, 9th, and 10th in Orlando. Of course, they have no other house shows because they're not running any house shows right now. But that's the next TNA taping event. And from what I was told is that the wrestlers and the women are frustrated enough that if they are not paid by the next taping, that they are not going to work the show. And, I mean, how can you blame them, Frank? If it's under contract and you're not paying me, you know, you're breaching the contract as is. And it's just really sad. A lot of these guys, as Frank has talked about on this podcast before, you can't just go only on your TNA pay. A lot of these people are working outside jobs, everyday jobs that are out there. And unfortunately, Frank, you know, you're trying to live your dream as a wrestler, and you're on television. And at the end of the day, a lot of these guys are not getting paid, and it's sad. And you just kind of wonder now in the boat that they're in, and they're not paying. You know, the speculation will always go back to, you know, is this the end of TNA? And everybody said, well, you know, everybody's been saying for so long, this is the end of the company, and the company survives in some form, and they change network to Spike TV. Although I think we talked about here on this show, the perks of being on Destination America are not the same perks you received with Spike TV. We know Spike TV subsidized a lot of the contracts they had under contract to TNA. So now, Frank, they're in a totally different boat, and, you know, it's just sad that a lot of these guys and girls that expect, you know, a regular paycheck from TNA are just not receiving their money right now.
You know, what's sad about it, Steve, is that, like you said, they are living out their dream to be sports entertainers. And for them not to get paid for services, you know, that they have done, that's total crap to me. That's just BS. I mean, your bills don't stop. Your mortgage won't stop. Your car note won't stop coming. You can't come with excuses when you're trying to pay your bills. They're not going to want to hear that. So TNA needs to pony up the cash and pay these people their money. And at this point, Steve, you know, I've always come up here, even though I have stated before that I call TNA the Dead Brand, I didn't ever want to see the Dead Brand go out of business. But if you can't pay your talent, then maybe it's time for TNA to fold. Maybe it's time for TNA to fold. Maybe it's time for their entertainers to go somewhere else and make money. Because it's like, I look at guys who have been at TNA like Bobby Roode and James Storm and guys like Eric Young who have sacrificed their bodies, Steve. Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Daniels, Kazarian, Alex Shelley. You know, all these guys that were in TNA that sacrificed their bodies, that have seen success in other places since leaving the Dead Brand. Maybe it's just time for that place to fold. You know, maybe it's time for it to go. I mean, honestly, man, that company really started hitting the crapper when, first of all, I believe it was Jeff Jarrett. And then it might have been AJ Styles after that. Or it might have been Styles first and then Jarrett. But either way it goes, that was two of the heart and souls right there on the foundation of TNA that you let leave. Okay, and then, you know, you don't have Bobby Ray there anymore. It's just a very sad situation here. I mean, it's the company really is a show of itself, you know, right now that they're on Destination America. As you stated before, Spike TV were subsidizing a lot of the TNA contracts, a lot of the big money contracts for people like Hulk Hogan and Bischoff and Kurt Angle and et cetera, Ric Flair. And this, you know, Discovery is just not going to pony up all that cash for a sports entertainment related program. So I think maybe it's just time for TNA to fold. And the best thing to do would be just to sell the video library to New Japan or somebody, or Ring of Honor or something, or even, you know, how about having Ring of Honor and TNA actually do a collaboration, actually work together to actually help each other out. I mean, that's what I would do.
You know what's sad, when I'm on the WWE Network and I see these little icons for all the shows, I'm thinking, you know, when am I going to see TNA Impact on there? It seems like that's going to be the eventual end of the company, is Vince at some point is going to buy that library, because certainly, I mean, they have a lot of the Sting matches, they have a lot of the Kevin Nash matches, Booker T, etc. Eventually, you know, if they put up the pony and they're going to sell the company, that Vince definitely wants that video library.
I think Vince would take that video library. I think Vince would probably take the ROH library if they were to sell it.
Of course, but
ROH is smart enough not to sell that, because they have a lot of the matches of some of the top superstars today at WWE. You know, they have, you know, Tyler Black matches and you know, Bryan Danielson matches and CM Punk matches. They also have the matches of Samoa Joe, you know, and other talents in Ring of Honor. So, you know, I just think that if TNA can't get it together, man, just go ahead and fold the company and let these wrestlers go somewhere else and entertain and actually get paid for your services. Because I think if you go out there and bust your ass, man, and you're up here getting cut up and getting hurt, I mean, you should be paid for that. And you should not have to wait 45 to 60 days to get paid. That's crap. That's inexcusable for that.
They're kind of lucky, I think, with this schedule, Frank, is they did, what, a bunch of tapings in February, early March, and then that was it. They've run no shows since then, and there's no shows scheduled between that last set of tapings and the May tapings coming up. So they're not running house shows, so people can't complain. They're just not running any shows. So you're in a position where a lot of the guys that work the February tapings or the early March tapings are not paid yet. I mean, that's the 45 to 60 days. So that last set of tapings, a lot of the talent, a lot of the women are still not being paid. And I guess the sad thing is when I see, you know, Big John announce that we've signed whoever it is that they've re-signed. They've re-signed Bram, and they re-signed Rockstar, and they re-signed Angelina Love. You know, what it says to me, Frank, is these are talents that WWE doesn't want. And that's the sad thing about it is, you know, you were saying maybe it's time for them to fold and move on, but, you know, from the big perspective of the whip there, I think a lot of the guys that are being announced as re-signing with TNA are just guys that WWE doesn't really want.
That's too bad, because you know, TNA has a lot of talents there. And a lot of that, honestly, Steve, is WWE, a lot of it is that they don't want to take the head out of their ass on that, really. And a lot of it also is that WWE just doesn't want the stink and the funk of TNA talent on their television. Because there's a certain stigma that goes with being a part of a dead brand. And people have said it for years. You know, it's like, you know, we've said it many times here on GRP, where Kurt Angle or RVD or Christian would be in an airport, and people were like, oh, how come you don't wrestle anymore? I do wrestle. I wrestle for TNA. Well, what the hell is TNA? I mean, WWE is not going to tell you. You know, they say Sting has been gone, you know, in exile for 14 years. I mean, Vince saved him. Vince brought him up from obscurity. Yeah, he brought him up from that damn TNA. They're not going to tell you that Sting has been in TNA for all these years. Of course not. I mean, when was the last time, Steve, that you heard TNA chants on Monday Night Raw?
It's been a long time. I mean, we go back to what we've talked about before. Have you seen anybody in public, at a mall, at a restaurant, ever wear a TNA t-shirt?
Absolutely not.
Really, I think you were talking about Jeff Jarrett, you know, when he left the company and it was AJ Styles after that. Really, I mean, the biggest sign that this company was probably doomed was JJ leaving. Jeff Jarrett leaving, Double J leaving.
Yep.
Guy was in the office. He saw the books. He knows Dixie's philosophy of running the company. And I've also heard, too, that Dixie is losing even more power. I mean, she's basically a figurehead. And she's only really there because her dad owns a company. Janice Carter is behind the scenes, makes most of the business decisions, cuts contracts, things like that. So really, Dixie is, in essence, a figurehead. I mean, more and more it's going in that direction. But I think, Frank, when Double J left, when Jeff Jarrett said, okay, time for me to leave this ship and start Global Force Wrestling or try something else, the omen has been on the wall for a long time that this company is sinking pretty fast.
Well, you know, man, if Janice Carter is the one that's, you know, making all the big decisions and she's cutting the contracts, once again, Steve, this is the same problem that we ran into in the old WCW days. You have people who are running a wrestling company that know nothing about wrestling. They know nothing about sports entertainment. They don't know the history of this business. They don't know where we came from to get where we are today. They don't know anything about that. They only know what some of these hustlers go in there and tell them and just are there for a motive of putting themselves over and all that. I mean, I have never heard one person saying any good things, and, you know, I'm a fan of this guy, but I'm just going to tell the truth here because that's what we do here on GRP. We tell it like it is. I've never heard one person tell me anything good about Booker T when he was in TNA, other than he came there just to collect a paycheck. And you've gotten a lot of these guys that have come in there just to collect paychecks that didn't really do anything for the company, that didn't see the company going anywhere. And that's kind of where it is right now. And unfortunately, they don't have the resources that they had with Spike TV. I mean, they have money. The Carter family obviously has money, but they don't want to invest any more into the project. So if you don't want to invest any more into your project, you think your project is not worth anything, fold it. Put it out of business. But if you're putting it out of business, that's putting talents out of work. But they probably could go make more money and save on the indies than they are in TNA.
I think with the Carter family, they tried to sell the company before. Maybe it's time to sell the company now. If they can, I mean, they are still worth something because they have the television deal. Previously, TNA was off television. They were black. They were dark. Now, you at least have a situation where they have a television contract. This would be the time, if the Carters are done and they don't want to sink any more money in it, they don't even want to pay the talent anymore, to say, hey, let's sell the company. Now, the problem would be is who would want it, because I don't have access to their books, obviously. But, you know, the books are pretty bad right now, and they have – They've blown a lot of money over the years, and I'm sure they are swimming in debt. But while you still have a television contract, this might be the time for Bob to sell the company.
You know, they tried to sell the company before, you know, as you stated, Steve, and it was basically going to – the people who were trying to buy the company, I believe it was Toby Keith and Jeff Jarrett. And they were going to purchase, you know, TNA Wrestling and all the trademarks and all that stuff, but – there was a caveat that Bob Carter had, and that was, if we sell you the company, we just want to keep Dixie there in some type of role. Well, they didn't want that. So that's the reason why Jarrett went on to form what is now known as Global Force Wrestling. And I think that if TNA were to sell to somebody, and I mean, what is the most valuable thing right now, the most valuable asset that TNA has? And, you know, it's the video library.
It's not the six-sided ring.
What I mean, other than that ring going to some, you know, backyard shed, okay, or, you know, the WWE taking this ring and showing your wrestlers not, you know, what not to do. I mean, what are you gonna do with that ring? There's nothing to do with that ring. So I don't think the ring would be worth a damn. I think the most valuable, you know, piece of the puzzle there at TNA is the video library. Because they have an extensive, you know, array of matches that I would like to see personally. But it all goes back to the Nashville days. You know, it goes back to the Nashville Wednesday night pay-per-view days up until the run on Fox Sports. I think it was Fox Sports Net. And I like to see a lot of that stuff. But what are you going to do? You know, and then recently, Steve, I saw your website. It was, I don't know if you read this or not, but it was the, they're talking about the expansion of the National Wrestling Alliance. Did you read that?
I did, yes.
What is your thoughts on the expansion of the NWA?
Well, they're going to eventually, add content where people can order it?
Right.
So like a video-on-demand service? Like, New Japan has a video-on-demand service.
Right. It's going to be called, NWAClassics.com or something like that, or NWA Classics 24/7. NWA might be in the running to purchase the TNA library. That would be a big coup for them. And take the TNA back to the NWA days. And then, you know, and honestly, Steve, I like the idea of all these organizations coming back together to form one. You know, I like that idea a lot to try to take on. But listen, they're never going to be able to overtake the WWE. It's not going to happen. But if you're aligning yourselves with different companies to try to compete with them, without competing so much where it's going to run you out of business, I think that's good for the business. I think that's good for the integrity of the business.
They make no decisions that would make them compete with WWE,
right,
or allow them to compete with WWE. You've now lost a lot of your viewers because you switch networks that nobody watches.
Yep.
And I really think Spike just said, hey, we've been with this company for how long? We know the books. We subsidize all the talent. We paid a lot of production. We're giving you Monday night slots, Thursday night slots, Saturday night slots, all these slots, any slot you wanted, we pretty much gave you. We gave you a 2-hour show, it was a 1-hour show, etc. I mean, there's nothing more we can do for you guys.
Yep.
And you're just not growing. 1.0, 1.0, 1.0. And sometimes it was 0.9, 0.8. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, let's move on. And you were talking about Toby Keith and Jeff Jarrett. You know, more that I think about it, those are probably the only potential buyers for the company. Who else out there has got enough money or could get enough backers to buy the company and let alone start investing in the company and start spending the money, start advertising and getting the word about TNA? And other than those, you know, big names that would have an interest in TNA, because obviously Toby Keith is Nashville and Jeff Jarrett started the company from the beginning. I mean, outside of those two guys, Frank, there's really nobody else out there. So,
well, there might be one guy.
I mean, who's that?
He was able to put together a deal before and floundered. But there would be one guy out there, I think, who has enough business savvy that probably could run TNA, and he wasn't exactly running it before. A lot of people had that misconstrued that he was actually in charge of TNA or something like that, when he really wasn't. And you already know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Eazy-E, Eric Bischoff.
A guy we just had on this podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. Which you can check out over, by the way, you can check that out at youtube.com/Gurick Report Podcast. Bischoff would be the guy. I think Bischoff can pull together some backers, and Bischoff actually could probably, he could probably get a better a TV deal for TNA than they did.
And it's interesting, when we had him on our show, we asked him about TNA, and he didn't want to talk about TNA.
Yeah, didn't want to talk about it, yeah.
And anybody that asks, anybody goes back and does listen to that interview, they'll say, well, you didn't guys talk about TNA at all. We asked him up front, he didn't want to talk about it. He said, like, why open up old wounds?
Right.
So, I don't know. He could do it. He could probably get the backers. I don't see Eric Bischoff investing in TNA.
Oh, I don't think he would either. I'm just, you know, I'm just hypothetically speaking, yeah. he would be the guy. He would be the guy to do it. Or somebody out there who's a big, big money mark. Somebody out there who has lots of money that you know, that doesn't spend all their money on chocha, Steve. Somebody who has lots of money that wants to invest. You know, that would be the person to go to.
I mean, maybe, has lots of money that would want to lose money, because if you buy TNA today, you're going to start lose a lot of money moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, I'll send a word out there right now. You know, Snoop Dogg, you know, he's a big wrestling fan. Maybe he want to bite into the wrestling business and you know, buy TNA, go do his thing. That would be kind of interesting there to see a black person own a wrestling company that's on a national basis. That would be interesting.
But I do think we are getting towards the end of TNA.
I think we are. I mean, honestly, I mean, I said a while ago that I was going to stop calling them the dead brand, but you know what? I have no choice. Well, you're not paying your talent when everything is looking a little bit sketchy over there. By the way, congratulations to Jeremy Borash on his new gig with the Howard Stern Show, by the way.
Absolutely.
When you have all these things going on here, what the hell does that tell you? It tells you that this is looking like really like how it was the end of WCW.
Or ECW, where they wouldn't pay the talent.
Or ECW, when they wouldn't pay the talent. And Paul Heyman, you know, I love Paul E., best promo guy in the business, but, you know, I mean, come on, Paul, you didn't do right by you guys. Come on.
Well, again, I'm saying, you know, TNA does have a television deal. ECW, back in the day, they didn't have a television deal.
They didn't have a television deal, and for what I heard, Paul E. wasn't really working on one. But that's a different podcast for a different day.
But again, if TNA would be sold, they do have, I think really that's the only thing they would have to offer anybody.
And you know, potential, you know,
the talent is gone. What talent do they have would be marketable on a national basis right now?
You know what? I just thought of somebody else who could probably take that company, Steve. And he might, you know, he would use it, and I think that it would benefit him simply for the TV spot that they have. Jeff Jarrett. Global Force. It's a TV deal.
I think he's trying to get his own TV deal.
I understand that, but it's not looking too good for him. I mean, they've announced tapings for the summer and the fall. But
well, think of it this way, Frank. If Jeff Jarrett walks in your office and you're whatever network you are, and they say, and he says, I got a great idea for this great show called Global Force Wrestling, and they say, let me see it. I don't have a tape right now.
Right.
Like, we help promote the New Japan show, but a lot of those guys on the New Japan show won't be on my show. it would probably behoove you, Jeff, to start taping some shows. But it's interesting, though, that they're not taping any shows to July. That seems late. You think, like, I try to get a show together and start getting talent booked and putting these tapes out because, you know, they'll start making decisions about the fall pretty early. And by July, they may have already decided what's going to be in their fall lineups.
Yeah, you know, and another thing is this. If Frank D., if Jeff Jarrett and Global Force Wrestling wants to comp me, I might actually make the trip to Vegas to actually go check out one of their shows. And the thing about it, Steve, is that it's going to be July. And I don't know if anybody who has been to Vegas in July, it is hot as hell. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't think of that. That's right.
It is hot as hell.
I was there one time in June. It was like 110.
Yeah, and it was last time I went there, man, I went to the TNA Impact tapings, and it's going to be at the Orleans Hotel and Casino, just like Global Force. So I went there, and I went to the Impact tapings, and I mean, the night before the show, it was, look, man, 3 o'clock in the morning, it was 94 degrees outside.
Ugh.
And the air conditioners in the rooms kept going out.
Ugh.
And then I had to go sit through this marathon Impact taping.
And he still didn't buy a $5 Coke.
I still didn't buy a $5 Coke. Don't disappoint me, Double J.
Well, I really don't see Jeff Jarrett getting back with TNA. I think he's going to give this Global Force Wrestling a chance now. And like I said, from a TV perspective, you're trying to sell Global Force Wrestling as a TV product. It seems like they want to see something. What exactly are we going to be putting on our television channel or our network?
Well,
and right now, you don't really have much to present to me.
Well, hopefully, you know, hopefully he's able to pull it off. I mean, like you said, he has 3 tapings coming up in Las Vegas, and hopefully they look good. I mean, hopefully he can get some talent. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're probably going to see maybe AJ Styles on that show or somebody like that out there. I'm pretty sure we're going to see a good majority of the talents that are not currently signed to the Whip. RTNA are going to be on this show.
I think he's got to have some name value to sell to a network as well.
Right, right.
You can't just have all indie guys nobody's ever heard of.
Exactly. I mean, if you know wrestling, you got to have AJ Styles. You got to have AJ Styles. You're going to have the Young Bucks. You're going to have, you know, I mean, I would have the Bullet Club there. And he's a member of the Bullet Club, so it might happen.
So that's kind of the state of TNA. I think your words of Dead Brand looks to be on the money right now. I hope they turn it around, Frank. I know that podcast we did where you announced it was breaking news during the podcast, and I laughed. And I don't want them to – anybody that listens to this show or knows the website, I don't want TNA to fail. It's just they make these asinine decisions, and now, you know, not paying the talent is going to bite you in the butt because that talent will leave. I mean, and then you're going to have even less talent you have currently. And I don't think Destination is going to like having – I don't think they have the marquee names right now, Frank. They don't have the Sting over there. They don't have AJ Styles. I mean, they do have good talent. I'm not saying they don't have any talent. They do have talent.
Right.
James Storm is a talent. Bobby Roode is a talent. But I'm just saying on a national basis, if Bobby Roode doesn't get paid and he says, I think I'm out of here, then they're in some trouble. If James Storm says tomorrow, I didn't get my paycheck, I'm out of here. See you later. If Matt Hardy decides he's not going to work there anymore, Jeff Hardy's out there anymore. I'm not saying, I mean, their roster's not what it used to be, Frank, but if they start losing some of those names, they're in some serious trouble.
Yeah, big time trouble. And I think they've signed a lot of these talents to long-term contracts there, so they might have them tied up, but we don't know how.
If they're not paying them, they can
breach
the contract. Breach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm under contract, but you're not paying me, so see you later, right? So, yeah, it's a sad situation right now. You know, another sad situation, not on the same level, but, I mean, last podcast that we did, we talked a lot about the Hall of Fame, and I was not happy with the Hall of Fame the way it was sequenced, but now we're learning that WWE was not real happy with the Hall of Fame as well. I saw Jim Ross on one of his blogs make a note that next year they're going to do a conceited effort to avoid another 4-hour show. Now, the 4-hour show to me didn't bother me. I mean, you're at home. Now, live, if I was there 4 hours, I probably would not be very happy sitting there for 4 hours. From a TV perspective, watching at home, I didn't really have any issues with the length. But They were not happy. I'm talking about the whip. And I go from the dead brand to the whip. WWE was not real happy with some of the speeches that were given. I guess specifically they've named Shawn Michaels, or they've made note of Shawn Michaels' induction speech for Kevin Nash, where he actually uses what the phrases wrestling and strap, which are no-nos. And they also made a little bit of fuss of Medusa's speech because she used some language, Frank. So I guess now that we've had a chance to digest all this Hall of Fame, they went back and they weren't too happy with the show overall.
Yeah, imagine Shawn Michaels, a sports entertainer, Steve, using those bad words of strap and wrestler and wrestling. My God, you can't do that. And then for Medusa to go out there and say that the Divas would kick her ass. How horrible. She should be burned at the stake for saying those horrible things. And it's like, they're mad at her for saying that. But yeah, I look at Monday Night Raw the next night, and Stephanie McMahon says, and I quote, she called Brock Lesnar a son of a bitch. I own that son of a bitch. Well, that's fine for her to say it, but we didn't like Medusa saying ass. So that's a problem. That's a damn double standard is what it's called.
Kevin Dunn didn't hit the dump button fast enough. Dump that all out of there.
Kevin Dunn looks like a dump.
So, Frank, when are they going to stop calling it WrestleMania then?
It's going to be called Sports Entertainment Mania, Steve.
I mean, it's, the name says WrestleMania, and you can't say wrestle or wrestler or wrestling.
It's just, it's like I said, man. It's
ridiculous.
It's so stupid. It's just the most retarded. It's just dumb. It's just really dumb. That right there is just stupid to me. Okay, I come on here and I'll say it's sports entertainment, whatever, but it's wrestling.
It's wrestling.
What the hell is it? It's wrestling.
What are they doing in the ring?
You're wrestling in the ring. What is this? Oh, they're entertaining.
And then we talked about the Larry Zbyszko speech where I said he's talking about he's a wrestling fan. Now he can go home and be a wrestling fan. And I'm sure they probably went, oh, Larry said wrestling. Oh, wait, isn't wrestling in our name?
Right.
Oh, no. Vince, if you don't want wrestling at all, then don't call it WrestleMania. Don't call it World Wrestling Entertainment. Call it World Sports Entertainment then, or whatever. Gosh, I shouldn't give any ideas, but I mean, you have WrestleMania, and you can't say wrestling. You have wrestlers. They wrestle in a ring. It's World Wrestling Entertainment. It was World Wrestling Federation, and we can't use wrestling. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It's just stupid, Steve. It really is. And it gives me a damn headache just thinking about it. Just the ignorance of that company. Just the dumb BS that they come up with. It's just stupid, man. It's like, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. I mean, they've been calling the belts straps for years. Now you can't even call it a belt anymore. A belt is what you hold your pants up with. It's a championship title.
What happened to the Attitude Era where we didn't care about political correctness? And now it's all wrestling correctness now. You can't call a jobber or a jobber match or performance enhancement. It's ridiculous. Are they going to ban Jabroni next?
No, that actually sounds pretty cool.
Well, that's an old wrestling term, isn't it, a jabroni?
Yeah, just like it's a mark. You know, I was gonna tell you though, it was funny because the Slammy Awards, right, on the WWE Network. Do you know what they listed? One of the producers. Somebody actually brought this up the other day on Facebook. I thought it was funny. They actually listed, I think, one of the directors or one of the producers. You know what the name was that WWE used for that producer?
What's that?
They called him Kayfabe.
Kayfabe,
yep. Kaye, and the last name Fabe. And he was one of the producers for the Slammy Awards. Isn't that something?
That is something. And of course, now we also have learned that Kevin Nash did not want to be inducted as Diesel.
I don't blame him. I thought it was stupid to induct Scott Hall as Razor Ramon. You know, the guy had a bigger impact. I mean, he got the success he did in the WCW simply because of what he accomplished as Razor Ramon in WWF. So when he went down there, it made a bigger impact. But I just thought at the time it was stupid. The only thing I could think of, the plan was, it was to induct all three guys, Hogan, you know, Hall, and Nash, as the NWO next year. But Kevin Nash wasn't having it. People made fun of Kevin Nash for years as being the lowest drawing WWE champion of all time, Steve. So he didn't want to go in as, you know, Diesel, a gimmick that when you think of it, you think of, oh, he had the belt. Oh, he had that botched powerbomb at WrestleMania 11 with Shawn Michaels in the main event. That's what you think of when you think of Diesel. So, hey, Kevin Nash. What do you think about Kevin Nash? Now, outside of all the quad, you know, jokes, which Nash got the internet community at WrestleMania with that one. I thought it was funny. But outside of the quad jokes and all that, you think of Kevin Nash, you think of outsiders, you think of NWO, you think of the guy who ended the streak, Goldberg streak. That's what you think of. So Nash wanted to pretty much put that out there with his, I guess he's doing other projects that's outside of sports entertainment, and he wanted to make sure that he can get any notoriety he can. So I don't blame Nash one bit for wanting to go in under his real name and not the gimmick name of Diesel.
I wish Medusa would have said something too. You know,
yeah.
She should have spoke up and said, "Hey, most people know me as Medusa."
Right.
You know, what are you going to do? I would have liked to have seen her inducted as Medusa, but you know, I guess the main thing is she got in. But you know, you were talking about next year's possibly NWO. Please don't give me NWO next year.
Yeah.
I am clicked out.
Yeah.
I mean, if that, next year if they want to put X-Pac in, put X-Pac in solo. I had enough Shawn Michaels and Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. And it's always just do the finger gesture, and it's like, next year let's do something different.
Right.
You know? I mean, really, if they think Sean Waltman is a Hall of Famer, then put him in as X-Pac then, or Sean Waltman, or he doesn't need to go in only as NWO.
Oh, I don't. But seriously, I never said anything about inducting Waltman in as NWO. I'm talking about Hogan, Hall, and Nash.
Yeah. Well, I mean, next year, if you you're talking for NWO, just those three.
That's right.
Nobody else.
Right.
Just those three guys.
That's right.
Okay, even though the faction grew to about 60 men.
I'm talking about the original three. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm talking about the original three. Now, if you want to put in X-Pac, if you want to induct a faction, another faction, okay, well, I think Sean Waltman, on his own merit, could go in as a WWE Hall of Famer. I don't think he needs to go in under, with a group. That's just how I personally feel.
That was my point.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you're going to link X-Pac with NWO, because although then they may put X-Pac in with DX.
Right.
Yeah.
Which in reality, if you think about it, X-Pac's last run in WWE before he was released, he was part of NWO. And then he showed up in TNA, and he was Six-Pac. I'm just saying.
Creative name there, Six-Pac.
Well,
one, two, three kid.
Well, 1-2-3 kid, and then what was he? The Lightning Kid, but he was a 1-2-3 kid, and then he became Six in the WCW because he was a sixth member of NWO, and then he came back. He was X-Pac off a play of Tupac, and then he became Six-Pac, which was a play off of both X-Pac and Six. It's a lot of complicated things there, but I tried to explain it best I could.
And I'm sure they drank a few six packs back in the day.
Oh, I'm sure they did a few six packs, a few six packs, and maybe had some Z packs. Who knows?
Now, another thing with the Hall of Fame ceremony, we talked about Rikishi, and of course Rikishi did not acknowledge Too Cool in his induction speech, which we debated. I mean, it's his call. I mean, it's his speech. He doesn't have to name them if he doesn't want to. But what I understand, WWE was willing to bring Too Cool to the Hall of Fame ceremony. Now, Rikishi did not want either member there, so obviously that was out the window. But what Rikishi did want, something I did learn, Frank, is that Rikishi wanted 60 seats for his family. So they were not too happy with Rikishi when he said, okay, we'll bring in Too Cool for you. Is that cool? And he says, oh, well, that's not cool, but I do want 60 seats for my family.
That's a big family.
I guess.
Yeah, he has a big family. So that's
want everybody there.
Yeah, he wanted the whole family there. I mean, we're going to have this great moment of seeing Rikishi being inducted off of basically his ass, okay? Because WWE didn't acknowledge the Samoan SWAT team. They didn't acknowledge the head shrinkers. They didn't acknowledge when he was just 5-2 singles run in the 90s on the WWF. It was all about Rikishi. But, as we say the last time on GRP, Too Cool was a huge part of that act. And I think they got over, I think a lot of the reasons why they got over, one of them was because of Rikishi's ass and the stink face, but another reason, Steve, was simply because of the worm. Sky Too High's worm.
To move on as well from that is, the Samoans were there.
Right.
And a lot of the feeling was that weekend was that the Samoans were going there to see, you know, their brother Rikishi get in the Hall of Fame, but they also thought their brother Roman Reigns was going to win the strap, and from, I said strap. Yeah. The strap.
Yeah, you said that wrong word.
We don't use correctness here on the GRP.
Right.
So he was going to win the strap, and I think a lot of the family members thought, you know, again, they saw Rikishi Saturday night, Sunday night. Rikishi got his honors once again being live at the WrestleMania, and then the show would end with Roman Reigns going over and winning the strap, winning the belt. But it didn't happen, and now from what I understand, Frank, is that seems to be the plan, that they expected Roman Reigns to win, and I think Roman Reigns expected to win. In fact, that was kind of what they booked out backstage. And the story that Seth Rollins was kind of the last minute, let's put him in this match. Now, I'm sure that was their booking decision, but they didn't tell anybody until almost the match went on. Supposedly Brock and Roman Reigns worked together on a finish, and then suddenly the agent comes in and says, hey, it's been changed now. Here's the new finish, and Seth Rollins is going to win. So there was a lot of disappointment, I guess, stemming from the WrestleMania main event.
Well, you know, if that's the case, that they told Reigns that he was going to go over at Mania, and he's, like, hyped all week about it, and he's thinking he's going to win the championship and, you know, have his moment. And if that's the case, that they told him a few minutes before they go out there that we're going to insert Rollins, and it's been a change of plans, and we're going to do an audible here, and we're going to have Rollins win the Money in the Bank. And I think what you're telling me offline, Steve, is that they thought that they were going to be, you know, working the internet or something like that. Well, you never were working me. I've been saying it, like a lot of other people have been saying it for months, that Rollins was going to cash in at WrestleMania. Either way it goes, that was going to be the plan. So you ain't working me, Whip. You ain't working anybody else. But
yeah, I thought this keeps as a top secret, and then, yeah, it looks bad. I mean, obviously, yeah. Brock was going to take a break. Remember, he has these large breaks in his contract. He re-signed. I mean, we're hearing now that Brock Lesnar's not going to be back until around SummerSlam time. So, you know, WrestleMania come, they know Brock is going to be taking a break again, that, you know, the impression is that Roman's going to win. You know, we heard the story that, Triple H, now that Brock was going to sign, was trying to convince, you know, Vince to keep the title on Brock. Well, I think it's always been in the plans that Brock was going to take a break anyways.
Right.
But now he's not going to be back until, you know, July, August, so we're not going to keep the belt on Brock. But they definitely gave the impression that, yeah, Roman Reigns weekend, Roman was going to go over, he was going to win, and then they decide to tell everybody at the last minute, oh, by the way, Seth is going to go over at the end.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to see Roman Reigns win. It was funny. I was watching that match. I was like, okay, just keep it on Brock. Okay, just keep it on Brock. If Roman, I don't want to see Roman Reigns win. But, yeah, if they tell him, or he's under the thought that I'm going to win this belt, and suddenly they change it at the last minute, that's not a good way to do business, in my opinion. So Brock is going to be off television now, likely until SummerSlam. What do you see them doing with Brock when he does return?
I think that he'll probably get a rematch at SummerSlam. It'll probably be him versus Seth Rollins. If Rollins holds on to the strap for that long, I said that word, strap. I'm sorry. The belt. Damn it. Said the wrong word. The championship title, Steve. If he's able to hold on to the championship title until SummerSlam, then he'll face Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar will probably destroy Seth Rollins, because there's no way in hell that Seth Rollins can beat Brock Lesnar.
I do want to say, too, is I think what members of the Samoan dynasty there have said, the story where they were disappointed about Roman Reigns not winning, they've kind of refuted. It may be one of those that have just been embellished on the internet. Of course, you know, the internet, that happens sometimes. But I think at the very least they were happy to see Rikishi, you know, get his honors. But I think there was certainly some family members. I mean, if you were under the impression that weekend that Roman was going to win, and they changed it at the last minute, and obviously they didn't go out there and tell the dynasty, hey, we've changed the plans. Sorry about that. We're gonna have Seth Rollins win this match. So I can kind of see either way. I can kind of see, you know, their perspective is, yeah, we were there to see Rikishi get his honors, but Yeah, we kind of thought Roman Reigns was going to win the strap.
Right. Yeah, and it's like Vince kind of screwed over the Samoans.
He likes to do that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He likes to screw a lot of people.
I guess we'll call it
those mind games, you know?
I guess we'll call it it'll be forever known as the Samoan screw job at WrestleMania. The California cash in.
Did you come to see Sting win at WrestleMania? Well, screw you. I'm not putting that WCW guy over one of my guys.
Yeah, and come on, man. Really, honestly. I mean, honestly, seriously. Are we still living in a time warp where we're living in this, and this Vince still has this damn imaginary war going on in his brain? I mean, is that the way people backstage at WWE, they actually see this? This is WWE versus WCW. I mean, come on. The damn war ended the night you purchased the company. It was over. And when it became under one roof, there is no more WCW. Where does WCW live? It lives on the network. After you botched the invasion, that wasn't even WWE.
Which you own. You own the network.
You own the network. You own the video library.
So you own WCW. It's yours.
You own the damn company, so it doesn't matter anymore. I was listening to JBL. I was rewatching that match. And I was listening to JBL say the other day, Triple H is going to be saying he tried to put us all out of our jobs. Man, get the hell out of here. Really, dude?
And they're telling him in his ears? During WrestleMania, you know, sell that we won again. Yay! I got to root for Triple H because we're gonna win again.
Right.
Like, give me a break, man. Really? In 2000, I mean, a lot of the wrestling fans, they don't even know 2001 in WCW and Vince bought WCW.
They don't even know what WCW is.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, if you came to a 13-year-old, well, that's over 13 years ago now. Was WCW was purchased by WWE? Or I should say, let me say it. It was purchased by WWF.
Right.
If you want to be technical about it. The World Wrestling Federation.
Right.
Bought WCW in 2001.
Right. And you got to understand as well that Ted Turner, Steve, was still in control of the WCW when the company was sold. Or that's what WWE tells you.
Yeah. I talked to some people coming from WrestleMania and I said, I expected Sting to win. And they're like, did you really expect that Vince was going to let one of his creations lose to a WCW creation? And I said, is that really the mindset?
But it's Sting, a WCW creation, though. No, he's not.
Well, I mean, didn't Triple H come from WCW?
Well, wasn't Sting down there in, wasn't Sting down there in the UWF?
Yes, he was.
All right, then. So Sting wasn't the WCW creation.
Yeah, it's just this mindset. We can't let a WCW guy beat a WWE guy.
Well, let me tell you like this, Steve. Let's look at the track record real quick if we can of Triple H when it comes to WCW talents. Let's see the first one here. Booker T, WrestleMania 19, World Heavyweight Championship, beat him. Let's look at Bill Goldberg, beat him. Let's look at Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner, which we'll get to eventually, beat him. Let's look at Kevin Nash. Beat him. Let's look at Sting. He beat him. Hell, he has a hell of a track record there of burying WCW guys, doesn't he?
Let's just kill the history of WCW. Oh, wait, no. We have the Monday Night War series.
Right.
And eventually maybe we'll have most of the Nitros on there, some Thunders as well. I mean, this mindset of it, but you illustrated perfectly right there. This is the mindset, even in 2015, is I can't let Triple H lose to a WCW guy.
this is what
killed the invasion, and now it's 14 years later.
In reality, is Sting a WCW guy? No. Sting hasn't been a WCW guy since 2001. The guy was a part of TNA for a while, you know, that obscure company that Vince pulled him out of.
Oh, yeah.
So hell, man, I don't get it. I mean, like I said, it's the mindset of the whip, how they think they live in their own bubble. Okay, so I mean, are we really actually even surprised by any of this? That they, I mean, they, oh, get them, you put us out of our jobs. That's the commentary I keep hearing. I'm like, really? And then Steve, you know, we finally over the weekend, we got the answer to that $1 million question of why is it that the NWO would come out and help Sting after the long, sordid history between Sting and the New World Order. Why would they come out and help Sting at WrestleMania? Scott Hall answered the question on Twitter the other day, Steve, and Scott Hall basically said it just like this. No comment, and then a bunch of dollar signs at the end of it. So, hell, even it didn't make any sense to him, but I paid for it.
He didn't tell them to blow him?
No, he didn't tell him to blow you. He didn't tell you to suck it. He didn't tell you nothing. He just said, no comment, and a bunch of dollar signs. And that's good enough for me, Steve, because that just shows right there that at the end of the day, it was all for a payday. And when you get a payday from the whip, it don't have to make no sense, baby.
And the check won't bounce, and it won't take 45 to 60 days to get it to you.
Exactly, mundo.
You know, a lot of those guys that were in TNA, Kevin Nash, Booker T,
yep,
working for WWE now. It makes a difference that you get paid on time. But this whole mindset, though, it just boggles my mind. Am I surprised? No. Did I think Sting was going to win at WrestleMania? Yeah, I did. I really thought that made more sense, is for Sting to go over, unless they're going to do Trip Sting 2 at some point, which they may do. And I don't know, Frank, maybe Sting sticks around at some point and wrestles again in a WWE ring.
I think that Sting might be doing a lot more business with the whip, so stay tuned.
Yeah, so that's a distinct possibility. But we got a lot more to discuss. We're going to get into AJ Lee leaving WWE. We're going to get into this saga of Hogan and Scott Steiner and a lot more, so stay tuned. More GRP coming right after this.
Hey, what's up? This is Frank D of the Gerwig Report Podcast and Gerwig.net. Hey, if you like what we do here on GRP and you think we are truly the podcast that tells it like it is, why not represent the GRP? Show us a little support today by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/GERWECK. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwig. 4 designs up right now, each $19.99 plus shipping and handling. But when you buy a t-shirt, you support Gerwig.net and you represent the podcast that tells it like it is. So check it out today. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwig, and thank you for your continued support of the Gerwig Report Podcast and Gerwig.net.
You can now listen to the
Gerwig Report Podcast
on the free TuneIn Radio app, featuring over 100,000 real radio stations, over 4 million podcasts streaming live from every continent, offering unprecedented access to listen to anything, anywhere. TuneIn lets you listen to over 100,000 real radio stations and more than 4 million podcasts from every continent, 200,000 mobile downloads per day. Available on iPhone, iPad, Android tablets, Windows 8, BlackBerry, Amazon Kindle. Available in over 200 branded products with millions of devices sold worldwide, including Samsung Smart TV, Roku, Sonos, Sony PlayStation, Amazon Echo, Panasonic Vieira TV, Logitech Squeezebox. TuneIn brings streaming radio to cars, including GM, Ford, BMW, Tesla, Mercedes-Benz, Volvo, Nissan, Fiat, and more.
Are you enjoying the Gerwig Report podcast?
Give me a hell yeah!
Did you know that every Gerwig Report podcast is archived at Gerwig.net?
Really?
www.gerwek.net.
Really? Really?
Really? The Gerwig Report podcast has interviewed some of the biggest names in the industry. Teddy Long, Vince Russo, Eric Bischoff, WWE Hall of Famers Ron Simmons, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, Jake the Snake Roberts, the Honky Tonk Man, Beautiful Bob Eaton, Rob Van Dam, Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Jeff Jarrett, Stevie Richards, Terry Runnels, and more. The Gerwig Report podcast, the podcast that truly tells it like it is.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Today's edition of the Gerwig Report podcast is brought to you by Gerwig.net. Wrestling news since 1997. Check it out today. www.gerwek.net.
All right, we're back on the podcast, GRP episode 96. Let's go into the AJ Lee situation, because AJ Lee, of course, worked WrestleMania. It was her and Paige against the Bella Twins. She went over. And now, Frank, I guess she's announced her retirement. She's done with WWE, which I don't think should be a surprise to anybody. We've talked about it here on this podcast. How can you really work for a company that is suing your husband? So that seems like a conflict of interest to start with. now she goes and she has a WrestleMania match and she's done. And now she's what appears to be officially done with WWE. And now the speculation is, Frank, that will she follow her husband to the UFC?
You know, Steve, I actually cannot believe that it waited, you know, this long for her to make a decision as to whether she was going to continue with the whip or not. I mean, rumor going around is that, you know, she knew before WrestleMania that she was going to retire. And I don't know, Steve, I don't know if you saw the pictures over the weekend or not. They came from NXT women's wrestler Bayley's Instagram account or Twitter account. It shows her with AJ Lee, and they are trying to hint around the possibility that, AJ Lee might be pregnant.
Oh, that's a new rumor.
Right.
That's always common when a diva leaves when they're in their 30s or their 20s. They think, oh, she must be taking a break. It's time to get pregnant.
Right, which I don't believe that. I'm just going to say it like this, and I said this the other day on a YouTube exclusive that I broke the story. I said, and you can check that out right now on youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. By the way, like and subscribe. That would be awesome. AJ Lee is in a very, very sensitive situation. It's a very big conflict of interest for her because your husband is CM Punk, who walked out on the company for reasons that he's already stated. He is currently being sued by the WWE's doctor for the statements that he made on Colt Cabana's podcast. Him and Colt Cabana are both being sued. So, yeah, AJ Lee decided, you know what, I'm going to stand by my man on this one. I'm going to get the hell out of here while I can. And I'm going to probably go fight in the UFC, and as you said offline, which I thought was hilarious, the no-weight division. So, you know, I kind of want to see where she goes with this. But I think that, you know what, I mean, if anybody's really surprised by this, you really not ought to not be. I mean, and to be honest about it, you know what, AJ Lee had a good run a couple years ago, and she's been very stagnant in recent years. I mean, she had Daniel Bryan to play off of, CM Punk to play off of, Kane to play off of. So other than that, you know, I mean, she never really did anything for me. And her comment about Jay Lethal and saying Jay who, it's a dude you were screwing. That's who it is.
You put up a thread.
Sure it
which,
is.
You put up a thread about AJ Lee, and you, of course, had a thread about her leaving the company, and then you had a separate thread asking, you know, basically, is she Hall of Fame worthy? And I was very interested to see these comments because my reaction was, no, of course
right.
not. I mean, on the eve of we've inducted Medusa, who was in WCW, was in WWF, started out in the AWA, was an AWA women's champion, wrestled in Japan, had great matches with Bull Nakano, etc. And how do I compare Medusa's career to AJ Lee's career? I mean, if Medusa's a standard now for the women, and maybe that's an unfair comparison because certainly there's going to be women to get in that doesn't have the career that Medusa had. But now I've got Medusa in, and now AJ Lee is here. And somebody said on the Facebook discussion group, well, she is the longest reigning Divas champion. And I'm thinking, yeah, but the Divas division is weak. So what does that mean that she was the longest reigning Divas champion? Doesn't say a lot to me. And I'm looking back, she's only been in the company, what, 5 years?
Right.
I shudder to think that she's Hall of Fame worthy. I don't even think she's in the zip code of the Hall of Fame, Frank. And that's no disrespect to AJ Lee. I think she is a talented worker. But Hall of Fame, I mean, she's not even close to a Hall of Fame career.
No, she hasn't had a Hall of Fame career at all. You got to put a little bit more time in there. You know, you got to use a little bit more talent to get in there. I mean, AJ Lee was one of the best promos they had there. I'll give her that. But as far as in-ring capability, absolutely not, man. No. Is she on the same league as Trish Stratus? Is she on the same league as Lita, as Victoria? You know, Victoria is more deserving of the Hall of Fame than she is. Gail Kim included. You know, I mean,
yep.
Come on. I mean, Molly Holly, Nora Greenwald, come on. Those women that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, AJ Lee hasn't gotten there yet. Not to say that she, you know, she's never to say she won't ever be in there because they let anybody in the Hall of Fame nowadays. I'm just saying that she needs to get a little bit more time under her belt in order to get that in order to get that induction. That's just how I feel about it. I mean, before we can put in AJ Lee, let's put in, you know, Nora Greenwald. Let's put in Victoria. Let's put in Luna Vachon. You know,
yes.
Let's put in, you know, people like
yeah.
this that actually help to shape the women's division. Hell, I didn't even go one further. Let's put in China. But then we all know that's not
right.
going to happen. But is she deserving to be in there? Absolutely.
I mean, I would think Beth Phoenix deserves a Hall of Fame induction over AJ Lee at this
absolutely.
Point. And Beth Phoenix wasn't there very long, but she had some really good matches, and she was a draw, and people wanted to see her. And AJ Lee is just – I mean,
Gail Kim,
of course. Yeah. I don't even think AJ Lee's 30. A 28-year-old who's been in the business for as long as she has and only been on TV for, what, basically 4 or 5 years deserves a Hall of Fame career.
Right.
And I know it's different than women. The women don't get as much television time. I understand all that. A woman's not going to headline WrestleMania. I understand that.
Give Divas a chance, Steve.
I do. I like the Divas. Who doesn't like women? I love women.
I don't care for them. I mean, let's be honest about something here. I mean, you know, we've said it, you know, plenty of times here on the GRP. I mean, honestly, what is it? The Bella Twins, for instance. Okay, I can't stand the Bella Twins. I don't like the Bella Twins simply because they left a couple of years ago thinking they're going to make it in Hollywood. They didn't make it. They came back.
I mean, I just ran the greatest female wrestler tournament. I like women's wrestling. Don't get me wrong. I have no problem with AJ Lee in-ring abilities. She's fine. I mean, as far as Hall of Fame, I mean, Frank D, off the top of his head, could name 10 women that belong in the Hall of Fame before she does.
Right.
And then if you thought about it long enough, you could think of a lot more than that. I mean, look at the women that were in my tournament. A lot of those women deserve honors over AJ Lee. I mean, if AJ Lee never wrestles again, if her career is over, does she belong in the WWE Hall of Fame? And I say absolutely not.
No, she doesn't.
Not even close.
Sorry. I mean, hell, you gotta put. You're going to have to put a couple other people in there before you even think about putting AJ Lee. And at the top of my list right now, Miss Elizabeth is on that list. Luna Vachon is on that list. You know, Molly Holly is on that list. Victoria is on that list. There's so many other deserving women out there. I mean, and she's not one of them. And that's how I feel about it right now. That could change in a few years if she ever comes back to the whip. But right now, she's just not on that league.
And then a question, again, I brought up before was her future. We kind of hinted to UFC. I don't know if she would be serious about UFC. I mean, AJ Lee versus Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey would kill her.
I mean, wouldn't even be a fight, would it? I mean, she'd get destroyed. So I don't see that happening. I mean, she's not going to go to TNA. So, I mean, what is her future at this point?
I don't know what her future is at this point, but it's definitely not in the whip. But I do say this. I do thank her for her contributions to the business and everything she did accomplish. And maybe she'll be back one day. That's all I can say. But you shouldn't let some guy, you know, you shouldn't let some guy, husband or not, you shouldn't let some guy dictate what you do in your own career. Because who's to say? I'm not trying to say, you know, they won't last, whatever. What happens if they get a divorce? All right. Well, you've already left the company, you know. So what are you going to do? Hope she saved her money.
And this is a report I've also seen. I was talking to you offline about this, where supposedly she's made the decision before WrestleMania that she's going to, you know, retire from the ring now. And she doesn't tell anybody. She doesn't tell any WWE officials, because if she tells the WWE officials before WrestleMania, then she's going to do the job. And I just really don't buy that. I mean, who cares if she loses the Bella Twins? Nobody cares about that match.
Yeah, I tend to believe that. I don't buy it either.
That seems like something somebody embellished. But I don't know, Frank, as we sit here today, do you think AJ Lee ever returns to wrestling? She's done.
I think she'll be back to wrestling, just like CM Punk will be back to wrestling eventually. I think it'll take CM Punk, you know, getting his ass handed to him in UFC and him not being successful over there for him to go to either back to the whip or Japan or something. He'll definitely come back to sports entertainment. There's no doubt in my mind. They always come back.
That's true. They usually do. Well, let's move on to Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner. Now, this was something that was alluded to at WrestleMania. There was reports that Scott Steiner was not allowed to be at WrestleMania, or actually, I should say, the Hall of Fame ceremony at WrestleMania. Scott Steiner was banned. There was a photograph that was on the internet. I think you actually posted it at the GRP discussion group on Facebook, that there was a sign that says, you know, Scott Steiner is banned from the building. We didn't exactly know what the situation was. Well, actually, it was TMZ. TMZ broke the story that Scott Steiner is under investigation over a March 26th encounter he had with Hulk Hogan's wife, where she claims Steiner grabbed her at the San Jose airport and told her he was going to kill Hogan, or I guess he said kill Terry. Now, Steiner has refuted the story, said he did not threaten anybody. He still hates Hogan, but he didn't actually threaten her. I hope for Scott Steiner's sake, Frank, that he didn't do it, because, you know, you go around starting threatening people, you're going to get into some legal situations here.
You know something? Why is Hulk Hogan? I mean, I'm going to shoot on this one, Steve. Why is Hulk Hogan acting like such a bitch? What is he, 6'5" or whatever it is, and he's Hulkamania? You're scared of Scott Steiner? I mean, Scott Steiner's insane, yes. But you're really scared of Scott Steiner? And you know, Steve, I read where people say, where does all this come from? What's the heat there? Hogan says, where is the heat? I don't know. Did you forget the Twitter war that you had with Scott Steiner a couple years ago at TNA? All the crap that you were talking to Scott Steiner on Twitter, Hulkster? Did you forget about that? Because Scott Steiner sure didn't forget about it. I mean, I'm pretty sure the litigation is still going on right now between him and TNA over that situation. So that's where the heat comes from. Did Scott Steiner threaten to kill Hulk Hogan? I don't know. I don't think he would be dumb enough to do something like that. But I wasn't there. I hope that he did do it, because terrorist threats is a serious charge.
Yes. I don't condone that. I hope he didn't say that.
Yeah, but it doesn't excuse Hogan's bitchery, though, Steve.
No. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you don't use that phrase. And again, it'd be secondhand. What? That would be something that Terry's wife or Hulk Hogan's wife would have said. Hey, yeah, he threatened you. He said he was going to kill you.
Yeah, it's hearsay, though. Because we don't. I mean, is there any other witnesses outside of the wife? And we don't know if the wife's a drama queen or whatever.
Yeah, this whole notion, you brought it up, Frank. This whole notion is, well, I didn't think I had any heat with Scott Steiner.
Really?
I don't think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do I have heat with Bret Hart? I don't think I have heat with Bret Hart. Do I have heat with the memory of Randy Savage? I mean, he screwed so many people in his life, and he's sitting there thinking, I don't have any heat with anybody.
Well, the whole heat with Randy Savage. the whole heat with Randy Savage was the rumor that you were screwing Elizabeth.
I mean, if you watch that DVD they just played on the network, he did not like Hulk Hogan.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. And I know, I said time had elapsed between they did that DVD, but I would think if Savage was still here, God rest his soul, if he was still here, I would bet you $1 million he would not want Hulk Hogan to induct him.
Well, you know, Steve, this is a funny thing about when it comes to Randy Savage. Is that watching that DVD is that, you know, Lanny said it best. If Macho Man had a grudge against you, he took you to the grave. So if Macho, say, didn't care for Vince McMahon, he probably hated him up until he died. You know?
Right.
So that's how Savage, that's what I get from how Randy was. So,
I mean, hell, he did the song Be a Man Hogan.
Right.
Because he hated him. He couldn't stand him.
Right. And a lot of that also, a lot of that too was, you know, he wanted Hogan to I guess, fight him or wrestle him or something. It was a game. He wanted to raise, you know, $10,000 or something for a children's hospital. And he says, Hogan, be a man. Come do the match.
Listen to the lyrics. What was he talking about? Hogan was wussified, and he supposedly, the lyrics suggest that Hulk had a problem with Savage. So rather than going to Savage, he calls his dad.
Right.
Savage's dad is like, hey, if you got a problem with me, call me. Tell me. But you call my dad.
Yeah.
Be a man, Hogan.
Right.
So, I would bet $1 million if Savage was still around, he would not want Randy. He would not want Grandpa Huckster out there inducting him in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely not. But, like I said, from a marketing standpoint, they were going to go with Hogan.
It's entertainment. It's entertainment.
That's right.
I mean, we as fans put a lot of stock in the Hall of Fame because we don't really have a Hall of Fame.
Right.
We that's the only thing we really have is, did somebody have a Hall of Fame career? Do they finally get that honor? And then here's a night where he gets the honor. He's second fiddle. He's actually third fiddle because he's second fiddle to Schwarzenegger. I know Schwarzenegger is a bigger star or whatever. Who cares? This is a wrestling Hall of Fame. Oh, I can't say wrestling. A Sports Entertainment Hall of Fame. And you don't even give him the top bill, and then on top of it, you give him the guy who he probably hates the most to induct him. When you get your his brothers right there, DDP was there. He was in the crowd. I mean, go back and watch that DVD. DDP could have told some great stories about Randy Savage.
Yeah, he could have.
That would have been so much better to have somebody up there really talking about some of the great memories of Randy Savage, not something like being force-fed from Hulk Hogan. And Hulk Hogan did fine, don't get me wrong, but it could have been so much better.
But who knows? Who knows if they put any restraints on Hogan before he went out there?
That's true.
We don't know that. I mean, we're hearing. So, you know, the only person that would be able to say this and not be a liar about it, and who probably would tell the truth about it, would be Lanny. So give it a little bit of time. Let's let the Hall of Fame ease out, because Macho Man's in. It's not like they can take him out. So let's see if Lanny has anything to say in the coming weeks.
That's kind of the situation there with Scott Steiner. What do you think is going to happen with Scott Steiner here?
Hopefully Scott will sit down, and if he threatened her, hopefully no legal recourse will come of it. This obviously stems from the TNA situation with Steiner and Hogan. So, I mean, for Hogan to come out and say he's oblivious and he doesn't know what the heat is about, you're really a damn liar. That's crazy, man. The guy who told me to say my prayers and take my vitamins and believe in myself turned out to be the biggest asshole liar in the world.
So, again, that whole notion, he doesn't have heat with anybody.
I don't know what
Hogan... People don't forget some of this stuff. Didn't Bret Hart even question Hulk Hogan inducting Randy Savage?
Yeah, and I was going to bring it up right now, too. If looks can kill, look at the look of Bret Hart to Hulk Hogan when Hogan was delivering that speech.
He doesn't have any heat with the Hitman.
Right, he doesn't have no heat with the Hitman. And somebody tell me, you know, why the hell, if you look back at that ceremony that they've, you know, edited on the network, you know, they blurred out the WWF Brock logo on Medusa's championship belt now. And they have censored Rikishi saying WWF. You know, he's got WWF. Yep. Could they have, like, maybe, you know, like they do in pictures? I don't know if this technology actually exists or not. I'm pretty sure they could probably do something. But could somebody have taken Hulk Hogan's bloodshot red eyes and, like, you know, just fix that up a little bit? The guy was obviously high out of his mind out there.
Hulk Hogan, you're talking about?
I'm talking about the Hustler, yeah.
Oh.
If you go back and look at the Hall of Fame ceremony, look at Hulk Hogan's eyes when he was out there. He was out there, smoking them funny cigarettes.
Well, I've heard some stories about him in TNA, so I'll just
leave
it at that.
I mean, Hogan's eyes were bloodshot, man. I mean, come on, really? And it wasn't even 11 o'clock yet. So
that's true. That's true. Yeah, I didn't think about that, but now that you say that, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan.
That's why he was in such a good spirit that night. I think it's kind of funny, though. That picture that they showed of Scott Steiner, it was so dumb, man. It was at a security desk at the SAP Center. And they actually had a real-life photo of Scott Steiner, and then they had a creator wrestler photo of Scott Steiner from the WWE video game up there. I don't know why the hell they would even have that.
Huh.
From the damn video game. So I don't know what the hell they were smoking on.
Well, I guess we'll just stay with the Hall of Fame. I believe today is the one-year anniversary of the passing of the Ultimate Warrior.
It's this.
Which seems surreal. I mean, last year we're getting this great speech from the Ultimate Warrior, and then we had Raw. He was there, and he cut his promo, and then the next day we learned that he passed away. It seems surreal. And I just want to acknowledge today's the one-year anniversary. And also, we talked about the young man they inducted in the Hall of Fame, Connor. And there were some remarks made by Justin Roberts who took, exception to what the true meaning of putting Connor in the Hall of Fame. And then we saw a reaction from the father saying, Connor loved Justin, and no matter what Justin says, we support WWE, and we're just happy to have him honored. So what did you make of some of the comments made by the former WWE announcer Justin Roberts?
I think Justin Roberts was simply calling the WWE out on their shit. I think that's what he was simply doing there. He was calling him out on it.
He essentially said it was a PR move.
Well, yeah, we already know that. Yeah, of course. I mean, he said it himself. I mean, he said Daniel Bryan is a great guy, but WWE makes you look like that he was a lot closer to Connor than he really was. Yeah, I know that. I can see the lines to this thing. And all of a sudden, when Stephanie McMahon found out about it and Triple H found out about it, it no longer was a Justin Roberts' situation. It was all about Stephanie and what she can do for the company. You know, and don't get me wrong, they did a lot of good things for Connor, but WWE isn't going to do anything for free unless they have something to gain from doing it. That's at the end of the day, that's what they did. But you know what? I'm glad Justin came out and told the truth about the situation, and I'm so glad that Connor got in there, and that, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
You know, some would be critical of Justin to even speak up and say, let the young man have his day. That was his day. The WWE honored him. Who cares what the intentions were at the end of the day? They did something good. So there was that argument against Justin Roberts speaking out.
Yeah, well, you know what? People are always going to have an argument about any damn thing there is. And people usually have arguments about things that they know nothing about. I mean, did we know that Justin Roberts was the one who started this whole thing? No, because WWE's video will tell you that it was Daniel Bryan that started this whole thing, this whole crusade. So Justin Roberts came out and spoke the truth, and I say good for him. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks, because people out there who are speaking out against something or saying whatever, you weren't even there to begin with.
Monday Night Raw, Frank, this week lost 1.4 million viewers from the previous week. So I guess that WrestleMania hype.
Yeah, yeah.
give it to us. What happened?
I know why they did, Steve. I have to do this. I got you. That damn Byron Saxton, okay, he is the worst announcer. You know what? I have said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You know what? I don't sugarcoat anything when I'm on GRP. I never have, and I never will. I have to be true to who I am and myself. Byron Saxton is what we call a whitewashed announcer, okay? If you didn't know that Byron Saxton was a black guy, you'd think he was white, just the way he talks. He has no business calling Monday Night Raw. He's the reason why viewership is down. Not so much that it was a bad show and it was a bunch of retread matches with the Big Slow versus Roman Reigns and Kane versus Orton. It's because of that damn commentary. I mean, imagine this. You have JBL out there and Booker T and Saxton. I cannot wait for Michael Cole to come back. He's seriously a whitewashed ESPN type announcer. That right there, people, and I'm not, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not saying that just because you're black, you got to sound ignorant or anything like that, because I don't do that. But at the end of the day, be true to who you are. Don't try to be somebody else that you're not just to fit in. And I think that's what he does. I honestly think that's what Byron Saxton does. That's the reason why I can't stand him. I cannot stand Saxton. I don't want to see Saxton on the damn TV. This guy should not be on Raw. I would rather have Renee Young calling Dan Raw than this idiot.
I'd have no problem with that. Why not? Give her a chance. I mean, but I don't think, I know you don't like Byron Saxton, but I don't think the commentary is what lost 1.4 million viewers, Frank. I think it was the show. The show stunk.
The show sucks. No, the show sucks.
It's awful.
The show sucks. And now that we don't have Sting anymore there as a,
you don't have Brock
attraction, you don't have Brock anymore. You got Seth Rollins as champion. It ain't nothing against Seth Rollins, but damn, dude, you can't cut a promo to save your life.
Long authority promo. It was Randy Orton versus Kane, which I think I've seen that like 100 times already.
Right.
The Big Show versus Roman Reigns.
Right.
I mean, that's what's on the show?
What,
the Big Show?
Yeah, what is on this show?
Kane?
That actually I want to watch. What do you have on this show that I need to watch and I need to go out of my way to go look at? Not a damn thing. So
I think people watched Raw last week to see where they were going, and maybe they're not happy with the direction they're going right now.
Oh, well, I wouldn't be either, man. I mean, come on. Really?
I mean, Extreme Rules? I mean, what is it going to be? It's going to be Cena versus Rusev again.
Right.
It's going to be the championship is going to be Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins. They announced what next week on Raw. There is a match. There's a Divas Battle Royale, which are always entertaining, Frank.
Right.
For the opportunity to wrestle for the WWE Divas Championship at Extreme Rules. We also have, what, Daniel Bryan versus Bad News Barrett. Frank, I mean, this card looks very lackluster, and I know it's the card after WrestleMania. It's the April pay-per-view, but, I mean, they're offering this show for free to the new subscribers. This doesn't excite me. I can't imagine it would excite a lot of wrestling fans right now.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me, Steve. I honestly can't say that I'm going to watch. Because I'm not. I have a network subscription. It's just sitting here. I mean, I'm not watching any of the stuff on the network. It shows you something when a diehard wrestling fan like myself has no interest in a network that gives me everything I want at my fingertips. That's the thing right there. It's not everything that I want. Because if it was everything that I want, then I wouldn't be up here complaining about Nitros and Thunders and Superstars of Wrestling and Shotgun Saturday Night and Sunday Night Heat and any other wrestling show that I can think of that's not on here. I mean, I hear so much about these AWA Super Clashes. Well, hell, put the damn things on the network.
You own the library.
You own the damn library. Why are you not putting up wrestling content? I don't give a damn about seeing some Jerry Springer show or the Diva Search or any other crap that they put on the damn network.
You didn't care about Cena and Y2J, the podcast that replaced the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast?
Absolutely not.
I tell you what, I watched for about 20 minutes, and it was all of, hey, do you remember we wrestled your very first pay-per-view match? Oh, yeah. Do you remember beating Vince McMahon in Chicago? Oh, yeah. Do you remember that UK tour? Oh, do you remember counseling some people in Alaska? I mean, it's like memory lane. It was not hard-hitting. Where was the hard questions? I mean, there's all kinds of questions you could ask John Cena, a legitimate interview. It was all like memory lane. And I'm thinking, if this is the replacement show to the Stone Cold podcast, bye-bye, network.
Pretty much.
I didn't expect much from it, but I got even less than what I expected. Because somebody was asking what Y2J on Twitter, and they said, you know, are you going to do kayfabe? And he's like, you guys know better than that. Well, it's obvious, Frank, that I guess what we've heard, that WWE was upset with Steve Austin for asking about China in the Hall of Fame, which I think certainly made WWE look very hypocritical over. But I guess as a result of that, we're not going to have the Stone Cold podcast on the network, and we're not even going to have Stone Cold do the Tough Enough series again. Now the rumored trainer for Tough Enough is now Y2J.
Yeah, isn't that convenient? Isn't that convenient? And I want to go out right now on the record and saying that I saw Steve Austin's rebuttal to all the rumors that's going on lately right now between him and WWE, and I think that Austin wasn't exactly being truthful. I think there's more to the story than what he's letting on. But, yeah, I mean, now that Jericho is about – I mean, you're really giving me a reason not to watch Tough Enough. I'm not a Chris Jericho fan. I don't see what people see in Jericho. I never have. And I just,
I'm not going to watch Tough Enough.
Yeah, I'm not watching, and I'm not going to watch the Jericho podcast. I don't listen to Jericho's podcast anyways. Why the hell would I want to listen to one with him on the network? Now, if they had done Stone Cold Steve Austin interviews, John Cena, which I said months ago, that's different. But they want to do Jericho versus Cena, and what you're telling me, Steve, it was nothing but a walk down memory lane, pretty much, is what it was.
Yeah, I mean, there was no hard-hitting questions. I think they did ask about him turning heel, correct?
Right.
But that was about it. You could ask Cena all kinds of questions. The only hard-hitting question is, well, what about a heel turn, Cena? Why don't you do a heel turn? And he's like, I guess he said he was open to it.
Right.
But, you know, they're not going to do it. So, I don't know. You know, I think we talked about this. You know, once you had Vince and once you had Trips, like, who was a logical person to be the third, like, high-profile interview on the network? I mean, John Cena's just boring. What are you going to put him? What do you want John Cena to say on there? I think it was more on Y2J's part than it was Cena's part.
Yeah.
I mean, Cena is not the most engaging person out there. I mean, you could add Stephanie. I mean, she is what she makes decisions in the company. And there was a lot of different guys that you could have went with. And John Cena, I know he's the biggest star. I got it, but he's not the most engaging guy to listen to for a 60-minute podcast or an interview. So I just thought that was strange they picked him. And then to put him with Y2J. Now, as you said, if it was Austin Cena, probably would have been more entertaining. But Y2J Cena, I turned it off, Frank. I watched it for about 20 minutes. I turned it off. I couldn't care.
Yeah.
I know I'm paying the $9.99. I didn't care.
Yeah, I have no interest in saying it. When they announced it at WrestleMania, I think.
Right.
I said right there, I'm not watching this.
So they've now announced that Tough Enough will return in June. It will be on the USA Network. And the show that was one time very popular when The Rock was around, SmackDown, moves from Sci-Fi, as they would say on The Big Bang Theory, because, you know, if you spell it out, sci-fi wouldn't be spelled the way they spell it. It looks more like Sci-Fi. Mm. So the SmackDown is moving away from the Sci-Fi Network and going to USA Network. So USA is all in on WWE right now.
Yeah, and I guess this is part of the deal that the Whip signed with NBC Universal when they re-signed with them was for them to have, I guess, NBC is going to start making WWE a lot more advertiser-friendly and get advertisers who have shunned away from the Whip in the past. I guess that's what they're looking to do. So one of the moves is they wanted to have all the WWE shows under one roof, which is USA Network, which is, I think, kind of cool. Still not going to watch tonight now, but good for them.
Absolutely. And, of course, they've also announced, I know this was something that very much excited Frank, is that the Total Divas is going to return for a fourth season as well.
Absolutely, Steve. I mean, I jumped up and down when I heard that.
But they won't have AJ Lee on there.
Yeah, I know. I really don't care, man. I mean, when we get back to the basics of just actually having like a wrestling show with very good storylines and engaging characters, I'm not talking about a guy who comes through the crowd and a guy coming down to the ring standing next to a trophy. He says he's no longer living in Andre's shadow. I would watch the show. But until then, probably not going to. I mean, honestly, man, I was thinking about this the other day. WWE's show is really, I mean, honestly, it's really for kids.
Absolutely.
It's really a kid show. And it was completely obvious to me the other day when I saw a post when somebody said that the kid in me is the WWE is when I watched wrestling. That's the kid in me. And I said, you know, that's a very bad analogy of the way people look at wrestling.
It's for kids until Stephanie says that Brock's her bitch, right?
Right.
Which I don't know where that came from.
I don't know. But, and that's another thing. I get so sick and tired of seeing Stephanie out there every damn week doing the same shit. She's in control. She's Vince Jr.
Ugh.
And I think Stephanie looks pretty good, but something's happened to her face the past couple of months. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. She seems to be aging quickly.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I think she might
have
a bad Botox or something. I don't know what it is, but something's definitely happened to her face in the last couple of months.
Well, it's probably that you got three kids and you're doing more with the company now, and you're a talent on air, and you know you're teasing you're going to fight Ronda Rousey. I guess that will do it to you.
I guess Ronda Rousey scared the hell out of Stephanie to the point where Stephanie is getting old.
Could be.
Yeah.
Well, I want to mention this, Frank. We, of course, concluded. I alluded to this earlier on the podcast. We did do the greatest female wrestler tournament, and it did come down to Bull Nakano against Medusa, and Medusa went over. So congratulations to Medusa. It's a good month for her. She not only got the Hall of Fame and got her moment at WrestleMania to be announced, and then she also wins our tournament. And I just want to say, Frank, I have – no problem with Medusa winning. She was a number two seed, obviously a very strong women's wrestler. But I just want to say that a lot of people thought that when I did this tournament, it was all going to be about beauty, that we were just going to pick who we thought was the prettiest girls, the biggest boobs, whatever the situation was going to be. I want to say that if you look at the final four, we had Sherry Martel, we had Aja Kong from All Japan, didn't do much here in the United States. We had Bull Nakano and Medusa. I think from a women's perspective of actual in-ring abilities that the selection process went well. We was well represented in this tournament. And I think the voters, who sometimes we question maybe about, you know, Hall of Fame, is this guy in or not, I think they did a very good job. And you may not necessarily agree that Medusa is the greatest, but they at least voted for women that actually could work in the ring. It wasn't just about beauty. And like I said, Frank, I'm congratulations, Medusa. I think she's a very deserving person, and kudos to her.
Yeah, congratulations to Medusa out there on the Hall of Fame and also winning the tournament here on Gurig.net. But I sure did wish Victoria would have won that.
Now, I mean, there's things I can criticize. I mean, Trish and Lita went out in the first round, which I don't know if they were voting against those two, if they were voting for their competitor, what the situation was. But Victoria went against Gail Kim, and Gail Kim went over, which I was a little surprised on that result.
Yeah, well, you know what?
But nothing against Gail. Gail's awesome too.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Gurig.net and the different tournaments. You're able to vote how you want to vote, and that's how it's supposed to be.
Absolutely. So that was our sixth annual March Madness tournament. We'll already start making plans for next year's March Madness tournament. I have no idea. I bounced a couple ideas off Frank. One was about brothers, but I guess there's not 64 brothers up there.
I don't know.
So I was trying to do a quick summation there on paper, and I couldn't get that many. So we'll think of something else for next year. Some people have suggested a cruiserweight or light heavyweight possibility. You know, we'll think about it. And again, we'll have some ideas for next year as well. But thank you for everybody that voted. And again, congratulations to Medusa. And speaking of polls, Frank, I got a couple of polls here to throw your way. One is, will Roman Reigns win the WWE Championship in 2015? And I know, I think in the last podcast, you thought maybe Roman Reigns would win at next year's WrestleMania. Well, 61% think he's going to win the title in 2015.
He very well could do that. But we got to get past Brock Lesnar first. I think a lot of it's going to depend on, too, how Seth Rollins draws as champion. How he draws as far as putting, you know, people in the seats, how he draws as far as TV ratings go. I think WWE will make their mind up then, but Roman Reigns is obviously still the cash cow. WWE wants to put the belt on eventually. It may happen in this year. It may not. Who knows?
What is Roman Reigns going to do at Extreme Rules?
That's a good question. You know, I would think that it would have been a triple threat match between, Orton, Rollins, and Reigns, but I don't know. I think they might be going into probably a feud between Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt, maybe.
Well, last night he wrestled Big Show, right?
Right. So there's no we don't know yet where they're going with Roman Reigns, but something tells me it's going to be Bray Wyatt.
And then the other poll I wanted to throw your way was we ran. Do you miss Vicky Guerrero? And 58% said no.
I don't know. No, she was annoying on TV. Absolutely not. No.
I didn't think that would surprise you there.
Yeah.
That the majority don't miss Vicky Guerrero. I was actually thinking about running a poll. Do people miss CM Punk?
That'd be a very good one.
Yeah. I mean, now some time has passed. AJ's walking away, and soon he'll be debuting UFC. Do people miss CM Punk in WWE? Interesting thought there.
Yeah.
We heard from our buddy Ravon. He had wanted to know about Hall of Fame credentials. I think you've mentioned this on a previous podcast, Frank. Hall of Fame credentials for Bam Bam Bigelow. Bam Bam Bigelow, I think, pretty much belongs in any Hall of Fame.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, he can put him in the Gorick Hall of Fame. He can put him in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, Cauliflower Alley Club. You can put him in the WWE Hall of Fame. The guy definitely is a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt. I mean, Bam Bam Bigelow was one of the most agile big men I ever saw. And it sucks how it ended for him.
And then he also wants to know, is there legitimate heat between Kurt Angle and Jeff Jarrett?
I would think there would be. yeah.
You think?
I would think there would be, yeah. I mean, the guy is supposed to be your boss, and he's screwing your wife at the time. So they probably got to some type of a, you know, they could be amicable and all of that and be civilized because they did do some business there in TNA for a while. But I know that Dixie Carter was very upset about that. She was very angry with that. And she was never really cool with Jeff after that incident, if you remember that.
Yeah, that was a caveat to, I think, really Jeff leaving the company as well.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it is business, but I think that had a big play in Jeff leaving the company. And Dixie was very hurt by that. She felt like he did that behind her back as well, and he didn't tell her what was going on. And, yeah, I don't know the full story there, but I do. I would guess that the two probably don't get along. I don't think they're exchanging Christmas cards.
Absolutely not. I know they're not.
And that's going to be our podcast for today. We hope everybody enjoyed it. You can definitely check out previous podcasts at www.gerweck.net. Definitely check out our Facebook group as well. Frank's always got some interesting threads up there, and he can always debate some things. And boy, sometimes those threads get pretty long, Frank, and occasionally you'll see some wrestling personalities throw a thought or two in the mix.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, we've had in the past here, we've had Glenn Gilberti, the former Disco Inferno, on one of our threads. We've had Johnny the Bull, Stan Bowley on one of our threads. And just recently we had Tamara Sitch, who used to be Sunny in the WWE. So we've had a couple of people that are you know, in the sports entertainment business have dropped by our threads, so you never really know who's going to comment. So you might want to check out our Facebook discussion group. Also, check us out on youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Updating content up there all the time, putting up some exclusive content as well up there. So if anything breaks, you definitely know that I'm going to post it on the YouTube channel. So it's youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Also, all you pro wrestling merchandise aficionados out there, go to prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick. Pick up a t-shirt today. That's prowrestlingtees.com/Gerwick. You can check out four of our designs up there. We have the Nitro style, NWO style, Raw style, and the official Gerwick.net t-shirt. $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And when you buy a t-shirt, you help support the Gerwick Report Podcast and Gerwick.net. So check it out today. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick.net.
And as always, we have always said here, if you enjoy our podcast, there's a lot of podcasts out there we know. A lot of different choices to make about, you know, who I listen to, what do I not listen to. If you enjoy what we do here at the GRP, we have 96 shows, which I definitely do think is an accomplishment, and you enjoy what we're doing, definitely spread the word about us. You know, mention us on Facebook, mention us on Twitter, maybe go on a different Facebook discussion group and say, hey, great wrestling discussion group here, but if you want some great wrestling talk, definitely check out the GRP. Spread the word of mouth. And I think, Frank, a lot of the podcasts out there, they've grown because of word of mouth. So people say, oh, I like this podcast. I'm going to tell a friend about it and say, hey, oh, you're listening to that one? Check this one out as well. So spread the word about us.
Right.
So we definitely would appreciate that. And as always, we do appreciate your support here at www.gerwick.net.
If you enjoyed today's Gerwick Report podcast, we encourage you to go to Gerwick.net at www.gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. You can also find all the archives of previous editions of the Gerwick Report podcast there. Additionally, check out our Facebook discussion group. We're on Twitter at Gerwick Report. You can follow us on YouTube, our YouTube channel at Gerwick Report on YouTube. Find us on Stitcher, on TuneIn. Check us out on Instagram. We appreciate your support here at Gerwick.net and the Gerwick Report podcast. Again, check out all your wrestling news at Gerwick.net and stay tuned for the next edition of the Gerwick Report podcast.
Ooh, I get it. I love it. I love it.
I wish I was a dog.
I don't want to just...
Here they come.
Come into my parlor, said the spider to the bee.
Sheriff, I think that's supposed to be a fly. Hang
on. I'm Duke Boys. I got them this time. Ain't no way they're going to get by this rock block. I love it.
Same jokes.